Thursday evening at Satsang, I was referring to the fact that if one really wants to become self-realized in final liberation, you have to drop your concept of God, the personal God. You have to kill your personal God. And I hit a nerve with some of you. We got a couple of phone calls, which were all similar. To the extent they said, Robert, I'm a bhakta. I've been worshiping God most of my life. If I have to get that up, it's like pulling the rug from under me. I'll be alone. When I worship God, I feel good. Now, as you know, I never tell you to stop doing a spiritual practice. If you want to worship somebody outside of you, or God outside of yourself, be my guest. There's nothing wrong with this. It depends on the maturity of the individual, the spiritual practice you're going after. Worshipping God is good at a certain level. But the time will come when you realize that the God you've been worshipping all of these years is denied in yourself. You are the one. And you say, Robert, how can this be? When I praise God, I feel good. Well, it's like going to confession. The priest is in a cubicle, you're in another cubicle. And the priest tells you, tell me all of your sins, my son or my daughter. What sins did you commit this week? And you tell the priest all of your troubles, your sins. And the priest says, do 1,000 Hail Marys. And go and sin no more. And you feel great. In other words, you've confessed all the stuff you've got inside to somebody. It makes no difference to whom. This is how it is when you worship God. It's not God doing anything for you, it's yourself doing it for yourself. So where did the personal God come from? Is there room in this universe for yourself and the personal God? Of course not. You are the one. You take up all space and all room. Again, it's like going to a psychiatrist or psychologist. You feel bad, and you go to the psychiatrist's office and she says, whatever. Sit down in this recliner, lie down on the couch, and tell them all about it. And you can't see them, they sit in the back of your face. You're taking all these notes and saying nothing. You're doing all the talking. After the time is up and you pay your money, you leave and you say, boy, I feel great now. She's a great therapist. But what has she done? Absolutely nothing. You've done it. You've emptied yourself out and you feel good. Again, so it is in worshiping God. So you see, it's good to worship God for you, people who have to do that. But one day you'll have to get beyond it. And ask, who is this guy I've been worshiping all these years? Where does he live? What's his name? Who gave him birth? Where did he come from? Or she? And he'll start laughing. We will realize that all this time you've been worshiping yourself. This is why I tell you sometimes, pray for yourself, bow to yourself, love yourself, worship yourself. For God dwells in you as you. There's nothing wrong with this. But you should know that you're doing it yourself. It's all a game of the mind. It's the mind that brings all these things out and makes you do all these things. The mind seems to be a very powerful instrument. You can create anything for you, any situation that you like. But you're in control, not the mind. If some of us allow our mind to tell us things about the past, about the future, about now. And what the mind tells us causes us to worry or fear, or to become anxious. If we realize what the mind is and how the mind works, we wouldn't be anxious or fearful of the mind. We would never be afraid of the mind again. Good afternoon. Happy Easter to you. Happy Passover, whatever you're doing. If you really understood that Brahman is all there is, would you take anything seriously? And it's only as you get involved in the systems of life that you begin to worry, because you think you're separate from Brahman, from God. And this is virtually impossible. Always remember this. It is virtually impossible for you to be separate from God. What they call Brahman, or absolute reality. When you can really feel this in your heart, you feel joy all the time. There's absolutely nothing in this universe that can frighten you or make you upset. In reality, what can really happen to you? There's no such thing as death. There's no such thing as disease. There's no such thing as earthquakes, cataclysms, famine. Yet they appear very real to us. And that's why I wear my natural face. To make you understand how real everything is. The whole universe is a cosmic joke. Everything is funny. There's nothing to be serious about. I know you can tell me, well, how about the starving people in Ethiopia? How about man's humanity to man? How about the things that are going on in this world in Los Angeles? Who experiences all these things? Who's going through all these things? It's as if we're living in two worlds. One world is the God world, where nothing can happen, everything is beautiful all the time. The other world appears to be a human world, where there are problems and so-called deaths and sickness and cataclysms. Where do you belong? Never mind what you see. Remember, you're sensitive against you as a human being. Which means your senses are part of the false image. What you hear, what you smell, what you touch, what you see, what you feel. It's all part of the dream. The Maya. And it's not real. Yet even when I speak to you like this, I don't really feel the reality of life. You go into this world and you suffer, you have problems, so you think. because they're real to you. They're very real to you because you're suffering from them. I think there's a way to become free from all of this. Totally, absolutely free. And that way is by turning within and understanding your absolute reality. Understand that you are one with all there is of goodness and bliss and joy. Nothing else exists. You have to prove this to yourself. You have to experience this yourself. Every time you worry, you're denying yourself. Every time you fear, you're saying something is wrong someplace. But again, some of you are so involved in this, no matter what I say, you're feeling the fear, you're feeling the worry, you're feeling the dastardly things happening in this life. But I say to you, this is not your life. This is a false life. It comes from false imagination. It's something you've been brainwashed to believe since you were little. In a world that doesn't even exist. You have to do something about your lifestyle. Only you can do it. If you only realize that you're all pervading, omnipresence, and nothing else exists but your reality, yet you have to come to terms with it. You have to come to terms with it. I can sit here and tell you about it. But some of you are so far gone into this absolute foolishness of the world that you can't drop it. It's hard for you to drop it. But you have to drop it one day, either now or when you drop your body. The trouble is, when you drop your body, you only have a short rest, and you will laugh at yourself and laugh at everything that you've done and laugh at your reaction to life. You will realize it's not really you. But because you've not realized it's yourself, you'll have to go through another body, another body, another body, another body, like you've gone through now. We've gone through thousands of bodies because we believe we are the body. That's the only reason we go through bodies. Let me give you an idea how the mind works. Compare the mind to the earth. And compare the seeds to thoughts. So a farmer has two seeds. One seed is a nightshade with a deadly poison, and the other seed is a corn, which is a food. So farmer plants both seeds into the earth. Remember, the earth is the mind. Is the earth going to say to the nightshade, I don't want to grow you? The earth has no choice but to grow whatever has been planted. So it will grow nightshade in the same abundance as it will grow corn. Because you have planted the seeds. Now, deep to where the roots grow, this is a term that you can get rid of the seeds of the nightshade. If you dig up the nightshade in a couple of days, you'll catch it right away. In a couple of weeks, it'll get deeper. A couple of months, a couple of years, It was the way under the ground, you have a hard job digging it out. So the point will be growing, growing, it'll spread all over the place. This is where your mind is now. You have been brainwashed since you were a small child. You got some scars from different lives. All coming at you in full force. And you have a belief system that you react to every day. You say, this is good and this is bad, this is right and this is wrong. I love this and I hate this. All part of your belief system, the mind. Now these roots have been planted a long time ago. Therefore, to get rid of your negative thinking, so to speak, you have to dig a big hole for all the roots. You do this by turning away from your problems, turning away from your situations, turning away from the world, and diving deeper within yourself. Continually, this day after day after day. Never looking for results. Never saying I've been practicing a month now and nothing has happened. Remember how many years it took you to be the way you are. The thing that your mind has accepted. The stuff you got deep in your subconscious, so to speak. Has to come up and get rid of. This is why many people on a spiritual path like ours ask me, sometimes Robert, since I started with you, it seems to get relatively worse in my life. Everything's falling apart. And I say, that's very good. It's a good sign. Because you bring everything to the surface. If things just get better for you materially, you'd just be adding on to what you've got already. But I'm trying to free you totally and completely, to liberate you. And the way to liberate you is not by adding on goodness to you, good material things. It's by getting rid of the stuff that's been deep inside for many, many years. And you practice self-inquiry, as you practice observing yourself, being mindful, being still, all this stuff comes to the surface. And when it comes to the surface, you're going to feel rotten. You're going to feel depressed, despondent. All kinds of things may happen to you. But this is where you have to hold on and really, really understand what's happening. And all the stuff that's coming up has been there for years and years and years, centuries, thousands of years. It's all coming to the surface, you're getting rid of it. Never waver. Never look for results. Never look for anything. Never allow experiences to tell you how things are. Never judge by appearances. Your devotee keeps still, looks, does not react, is not judgmental, but keeps on practicing, practicing, practicing. Is a person finally find liberation. Look at your lives, many of you sitting here today. When I talk to you this way, you listen to me, you agree with me, you say yes. But as soon as you get to your home, what happens to you? You revert back to what you were before. You start thinking about this and worrying about that and complaining about this I'm worrying about this person, this person's doing. And you expect to be liberated. You can't be liberated this way. You start gossiping about people. You start finding fault in people. You're not leaving everything alone. You're not dropping everything. So you're adding on, aren't you? Remember, you're either dropping everything or you're adding on to yourself. When you do the negative thing I just outlined, you're adding on to your stuff. Adding on more and more and more and more. You're accruing more karma. Every time you see something wrong and you feel it, you're accruing karma. Under this, every time you feel something is wrong someplace, every time something bothers you, and you don't do anything about it, you're going karma. But as soon as the first sign of negation comes to you, as soon as the first sign of depression comes to you, as soon as the first sign of feeling out of sorts comes to you, nothing in the bed. You're not listening, you're not carried with you. You don't care what your mind tells you. Immediately ask yourself, to whom does this come? Who's saying all of this? I am? Where is the source of this I who feels all this? Where did the I come from? Is the I me? This is the way you have to talk to yourself, continuously, constantly. Is the I me that feels out of sorts? Is the I me that feels disappointed? Is the I me that feels something is wrong? And when you keep asking the questions to yourself this way, something will tell you, no, it's not you, it's I. And you have absolute nothing to do with the I. The I is not you. The I is merely a thought. It is not real. It is only a thought. And when you investigate it properly, it disappears. Like it never existed. Now, the wonderful thing about this is everything is attached to the I. It's something you have to ponder all the time. When you start working on removing the I, you're working on removing the world as you see it. All the problems, all the trouble, everything that you see is all in the eye. It is the eye that feels all these things. That's you, the eye. When you look at the eye objectively and realize it's not a part of you, how can you suffer? You'll say, I suffer, not me. God, I suffer all you want. You have nothing to do with me. It is the eye that believes that times are hard. It is the eye that believes in disease, poverty, lack, limitation. It is the eye that believes people are trying to hurt you, people are talking about you. Not you, but the eye. And you keep practicing this again and again and again and again. The time is going to come when you'll get it. and you'll be free and liberated. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Never mind what everybody else is doing. Look at everybody else. Again, you ask how about helping others? Of course you help others. You can help the homeless. Help the starving people in Ethiopia. You never become hard and callous due to the fact you know that the people that I'm talking about are you. You're not separate from anybody. You are everybody. Remember, your real nature is boundless space. When you begin to observe the truth in yourself, you begin to expand, and you take in the whole universe, the whole world, everybody, everything, all the plant kingdoms, the mineral kingdoms, the vegetable kingdoms, the animal kingdoms, the human kingdoms. It's all within you. So of course your nature becomes kind, gentle, peaceful. We realize that if you're doing it for somebody else, you're doing it for yourself. Whatever you think of other people, you think of yourself. There's only one self, and you are that. When you begin to understand this, you will treat everybody as you treat yourself. As you want to be treated yourself. Will show mercy, forgiveness. When you're watching yourself. So to summarize, your real nature is absolute reality, consciousness, Brahman, Satchitananda. And there's only you. That you are the self and you are that. That's all it is. But when you believe you're something else, a human body, a mind, a world, personal God, then you have to really work in those experiences. Simply because we live in a world of constant change. Everything changes constantly, continuously. And change will come to you whether you like it or not. Therefore, I say to you, turn from the world, transcend, know the truth about yourself, look at yourself constantly. Everything else will take care of itself and you'll be free and liberated and happy. This is the truth about you. What are you going to do about it? What you're going to do about it is you should run out and buy a pair of glasses like mine. Tell us for the world what you think. You are free to do what you want. The choice is yours. Feel free to ask any questions. Any questions? No question, that as you get. Always expect the unexpected.
Howard, why is it that when you listen to music, you can be completely absorbed and there's no thoughts at all, and yet enlightenment doesn't arise out of that?
Music is a savage beast. Even you. You become soothed by listening to music. But it doesn't go all the way. It makes you into a certain, it picks you up, lifts you up. But it doesn't lighten you because it doesn't go that direction.
It seems to get the mind in a place that it's ready to meditate.
It does, true.
You know, like you feel a lot of bliss and your mind is quiet and everything is in harmony. But yet the mind is absorbed. It's like distracted, although there's no vibration in the mind, yet the mind is actually absorbed. And then it seems like at that point it's like a jumping off point where I feel like I'm out of there, even in the silence. Then I can go into the silence. It's like a really big help, I think.
Yes, music, art, all the other things in this world are like a springboard.
Even like playing with an animal.
Yes.
You know, I could come home from work and be real angry and, you know, full of all kinds of negative stuff, and I'd play with this cat and feel a lot of love and petted and everything, and all this garbage goes out and I feel like in a place of beginning, the love starts coming up and then I feel ready for and release everything and everything.
Yes, this is true. Music, animals, nature, art. But they're not liking it, they just go a certain direction so far. And again, you have to get it all up.
So even though the mind might be silent, it's still kind of absorbed. It's like a kind of like an artificial silence. Is that
true? Yeah.
It's still alive, but it's just absorbed for the moment.
You have to go beyond that, you have to go beyond everything.